Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Keep Looking Up When Life Gets You Down. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Say no to anxiety. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked 3 times, and he once spent a full day on the open sea. He was stoned, scourged 5 times, and was beaten with fists and rods. He was chased. He was the focus of riots and death threats. And after one near-death experience, he was bitten by a snake. Yet, his focus, energy, and resilience were amazing. In fact, the only thing that seemed to discourage Paul were the problems in the young churches. To read Paul's letters, you could come away with the idea that he was continually frustrated and that his work wasn't very successful. His early letters were filled with corrections, some of them quite harsh. But in reality, Paul's work changed the world. Once powerful temples are in ruins and hundreds of millions read his letters. Paul made a short visit to Philippi, but made a powerful impact there. Why? He modeled what he preached, choosing to always rejoice and basically say no to anxiety. This is one of the obvious reasons Paul had such a successful ministry. He learned how to defeat stress. He was able to function successfully in some very stressful situations. In fact, Paul seemed to thrive in situations that would have left many people immobilized with anxiety and discouragement. Kind of like the night he and Silas sang in prison. Let's look at the beginnings of that story. In Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful to us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The biblical record says that an earthquake set Paul and Silas free that night, but their songs reveal that they were set free long before the chains fell off. The instructions of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, tell how they did it and how it can be done today. First, choose to rejoice no matter what. Verses 4 and 5, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Any of us can sing on a good day. If your team wins, if your stocks go up, if your birthday present is cool, or if it doesn't rain on your vacation, it's easy to rejoice. But that's ordinary good circumstances joy. What Paul and Silas had and what we can have was extraordinary. Extraordinary joy rejoices no matter what happens to be going on at the time. Even if your heart is breaking right in the middle of the song. None of us can escape the pain or grief in some of life's worst circumstances. But we can choose to rejoice in spite of them. Paul and Silas did. Right in that Philippian jail. And the prisoners were listening to them. That's Acts chapter 16. Again, verse 25, the second part of it. Listen, people are watching and listening to know if your faith in Christ is genuine. They want to know if your faith works. Anyone's faith can work on a good day. But when the chips are down, that's when they get to see whether your faith is real. And they'll watch very closely. You'll only be able to rejoice in difficult circumstances if your relationship with God is real. Second, choose to always trust. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are instructed to rejoice, but not in our own strength. In verse 4, Paul said to rejoice in the Lord always. And then a moment later, he gives a fourfold reminder to pray about all the things you need, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will be like an armed sentry marching around your heart and your mind, fighting anxiety for you. Just consider the imagery. Philippi was a city populated in large part and in large number by retired Roman soldiers. Like any military community, Philippi would have known the lingo of the armed services and would have quickly grasped the image of an armed sentry. Around their city would have been soldiers who stayed up all night to guard their gardens from animals, their homes from thieves, and their land from an enemy attack. In Greek, to guard was phoreo. In this letter to military families, Paul emphasizes that God's peace will be your phoreo. He'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Figuratively speaking, you must get inside God's city walls, and then His peace will march like a sentry around your potential anxieties. This is not some kind of psychological faking of joy until you feel better. This is the expression of a real relationship with Jesus Christ that will transform you, that you will sing in a prison. Whatever the prison, whatever that prison happens to be for you. And then third, choose to say no to anxiety. Verses 8 and 9. This is not nearly as complicated as we often make it out to be. If you're anxious about an issue, you've been thinking about the thing that makes you anxious. If you want to stop being anxious, you must intentionally think about other things. This requires developing a discipline, one that Paul makes clear in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. How many anxious thoughts have ruined otherwise perfectly good days? Think only on things that are true. What's noble? Well, think about that. What's right and pure? That leaves out things that are wrong and impure. And that would be good for us. Think of things that are lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Think about these things. To effectively say no to anxieties, you must zone in on positives and tap into the joy which takes you above the circumstances and allows you to rejoice in the midst of them. You and I don't live in a vacuum. We're surrounded by birds of all kinds of feathers and all kinds of people, and only a few of them know how to sing. But they will sing no matter the weather, no matter the circumstances. And if you fly with them, you'll sing too. You think about all that, and you have a great day.